After all, with a population of Poles, Hungarians, Czechs, Croats, Slovaks, Slovenes, Italians, and Germans, national sovereignty would have meant the end of the Habsburg monarchy. There was no way for the Habsburg monarchy to take on the notion of nationalism without it meaning the complete disintegration of the monarchy. And Clemens von Metternich understood this very clearly early on in his tenure. He would dominate the era in German politics, certainly in Austrian politics, from 1809 down to 1848, so a very, very long time indeed. And as we've already seen, that the Congress of Vienna would play a central role in the international attempt at restoration. He was opposed to liberal reform everywhere. He believed that if the principle of national sovereignty were accepted anywhere in Europe, then the Habsburg monarchy would be undermined. Its security would be undermined, and it simply could not be allowed to stand. As a consequence, Metternich would be the most articulate, the most vociferous champion of legitimacy, legitimacy, legitimacy. This was, as I said last time, the watchword of the age of restoration. Legitimate monarchs. The use of the term divine right was already was problematic, but certainly this notion of legitimacy, legitimacy, was hammered away over and over again. It was the driving force behind the so-called Concert of Europe, of which Metternich was the architect. This Concert of Europe, he hoped, could be used to ferret out subversive liberal movements everywhere before they had a chance to really take on dangerous proportions in any of the countries of Europe. This position, of course, put Metternich and the Habsburg monarchy in opposition to every national movement in Europe, but particularly in Italy and Germany, very close to home. Those national movements had been born during the Napoleonic Wars, galvanized by the humiliation at Jena and at Tilsit. Prussian intellectuals, university students, philosophers, artists, and so on, had raised hopes for some sort of German uprising, some sort of national uprising against French oppression. This was not a grassroots movement. There was no groundswell among the peasantry or other elements of society for any sort of national unification. But a number of German playwrights, poets, philosophers, university professors hoped to build on an older tradition in Germany, one that had emerged in the 18th century, in which German philosophers had talked about, well, there was a cultural nation in Germany. There was clearly a German cultural identity. There was simply not a state for the Germans. There was no Staatsvolk, is the term that was used, a nation state for Germany. The impact of Napoleon was to convince those very same intellectuals or their followers to believe that Germany could not be satisfied with the idea of a cultural national identity, but needed some form of national state. Support for the national cause was particularly strong at the universities. In 1813, at the outset of these wars of liberation against Napoleon, university students had marched off en masse to enlist in the armies, fighting not for the monarchy of Prussia, not for the monarchy of this German state or that German state, but rather had flocked to the flag, aroused by the hope for some form of German national unification. These student units that went off into battle would carry a flag with them. It was not the black and white flag of Prussia, nor of any of the other principalities of the German empire, but rather carried a black, red, and gold flag, which was their particular banner, symbolizing, they hoped, some form of national unification. But the King of Prussia, in whom they had really focused their hopes, Austria was out of the question as a power to lead any sort of movement of German unification, even under the circumstances of the Napoleonic era. The Prussian king, after having raised their hopes, had no intention of granting a constitution or of recognizing the principle of national sovereignty, popular sovereignty. Indeed, he arrived at Vienna. His representatives arriving at Vienna made it quite clear that his addresses during the Wars of Liberation had been meant to mobilize popular opposition to the Napoleonic regime, but he very quickly accepted Metternich's notion that any sort of German national state should be put on hold. It was a great, great disappointment. The Prussian performance at Vienna was a great disappointment to those German intellectual students and so on who had hoped that some sort of nation state would arise out of the revolutionary and Napoleonic eras.